We thank the Lord for the good news and how the Lord changed the lives of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John. We're going to try to see how God worked in their character, how He works in the character of all Christians, of spiritual fathers. If you're a Christian, you have an influence on other people. You're kind of a spiritual father to them. And also, of course, for dads, if you're a dad of a bunch of little blessings there, you can take note of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John. And thank the Lord for the good music today. Thank you, everybody, for singing. Dana and Jessica, please keep that ministry growing, okay? Truly clear, biblical. I want a copy of that song. First time I heard it, but very powerful, very powerful. Thank you. So Peter and John are telling the people that Jesus rose from the dead. That's good news you could live out, and you're like a billboard of that news. You might think of all the news you heard last week, all the conversation you had around, you know, the community, the table, you're out and about having a nice time. Was there an awareness? Was there any kind of information passed on that, oh, don't forget, you know, we serve a living God. He rose from the dead, and he changes lives. That's the foundation of who we are for good news of why we walk and live and follow the Lord. So anyway, they're doing that. They get strong opposition from the temple guard and the Sadducees, who hate the resurrection, can't stand that news. Okay, that you'll experience that also, and so forth. And the authorities put Peter and John in jail. And God is doing great things at the time. About 5,000 people have turned to Him in terms of the count, at least with men. And all this action really started in chapter 3. When there's a man who's begging for help, he's a beggar. So God can work when you see a beggar. Opportunity for God to work. You'll see that throughout the Bible. There's a beggar, and God heals the beggar who had been crippled for 40 years. And just something to take note of in knowing the good healing of God and the miracles He does. We went over this on Wednesdays. He does daily miracles. The little ones are a blessing. They're kind of a miracle from God. And then the sun and the rain and daily bread, those are daily miracles and so forth. But then you have what we would call Bible miracles, or miracles directly from Jesus to a troubled situation where a person is changed immediately and 100%. The man is crippled and he gets up and he's not crippled anymore. Okay? And it's not that Jesus says, you know, well, I want you to go for physical therapy for 2 years, and a chiropractor will work on you for a good while, and then you got these Advils and so on, and you'll feel better, and probably they will, and you'll say thank God for the chiropractor, the Advil, and the doctors, you know, and the PT, physical therapy. But then there's the Jesus direct healing, which he's not well, and then immediately he's well, okay, and Jesus still does that. But you and I would have to say, we want to go with the Bible, that happens not too often, right? Or he's not well, then all of a sudden he's 100% well. That seems to be prevalent in the New Testament, that Jesus did that. So we give him the credit, because at the time people started to look to Peter and John, and they're looking at them in chapter 3 and saying, wow, these guys are terrific. See this fella, he was crippled, and now he's not crippled. And so verse 12 of chapter 3, Peter says, why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we made this man walk? Okay. They say it was Jesus and his name that made this guy walk. So they give 100% credit to God. And so there's these men, Peter and John, they're keeping their role proper. They're following God. And any good thing that happens, they give credit to the Lord. So for Christians, for spiritual fathers, and for dads, we should know this. that we start off by saying, it's not by our power or goodness that we're going to be a good dad. It's just not going to happen that way. We could talk to all the dads or spiritual dads and say, you know, well, are you ready for the task before you? Whether you bring a little one home and you say, oh, I know how to do everything, you know, A through Z. And from the time they're a week old all the way to the time they're 18, no sweat, right? There's a lot of sweat. There's a lot of prayer. There's a lot of, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's funny, the little ones and teenagers, they sense that, you know. They think, my parents, they really don't know what they're doing. So you guys have to have mercy on them because their competence comes from God. Their competence comes from God. God called them into that role. And so he makes them able, just like he made Peter and John able to face the situation of seeing a man helped and also given the good news of Jesus rising from the dead. Lesson number one, you can't be a good dad, can't be a good Christian on your own power or godliness. It has to be God doing it for you. And he'll help you because he puts you in that calling. Okay, so you say to God, I can't do this. I need you, Lord. Humble yourself before God, and he'll help you. And history tells us that Peter and John, even with their limited, let's call it limited social skills, they were used by God in a mighty way. Okay, they were common fishermen. They weren't leaders in worship services. Okay, Peter and John up to this point had not done what Fred did or what I'm doing. Or maybe even what the gals did and the children, you know. They didn't lead worship. They were common fishermen. Okay, they were unschooled, ordinary men. So they're pretty much like 95% of you all sitting in the pews here today. Okay. No experience in deep theology. Okay. Not scholarly in any manner of speaking. So God helps these guys. He fills them with the Spirit. And Peter, you know, says one of the greatest truths ever. And you could picture a guy never taught Sunday school, never, he only preached, I think, one or two sermons up to this point. And he gets up and says this. He says, salvation's found in no one else. There's nobody, no other name under heaven given where a person could be saved. That's one of the greatest things ever said about Jesus. And here's this common fisherman doing it because God is using him and making him able for the task and the responsibility that God has given him. So a message for common, ordinary, unschooled followers, dads, is that God will work with you and through you. Okay, he really will. And if you look at some examples, I'll just share one example of an impact in my life. When I was 15, I was just an average 15-year-old, you know, plugging along through life, trying to figure out what was next. I'm sitting watching television. My dad gives me an article written by Norman Vincent Peale in the newspaper. Now, how many favorite Bible teacher is Norman Vincent Peale? Raise your hand. We got one chuckle, but we got no votes. Okay. Norman Vincent Peale. Now, he was kind of just, he was just a guy, you know, he tried to point people to the Lord. He wasn't really that big on the Bible. Did a lot of things like, you know, come on, think good things and something good will happen, you know. He actually did make an impact. Billy Graham said one time that he don't know of anybody other than who influenced people toward the Lord more than Norman Vincent Peale and his wife. Billy Graham, very gracious man, of course. But anyway, Norman Vincent Peale, he gets a lot of guff by his Christian brothers and sisters, that's for sure. So anyway, my dad gives me this article written by Norman Vincent Peale. And at that time, I have no Bible, have no church, no youth group, no Sunday school, no fellowship, nothing. I'm zero spiritually, okay? So I'm reading the article because, Dad, I love Dad, and he probably senses I need this. And then at the bottom of the article, there's one Bible verse, okay, from the book of Joshua that says, have no fear, Be of courage. The Lord is your God, and He'll be with you wherever you go. And it was like God took that truth, tattooed it on my soul, and it never left me. Really did never leave me. And all of a sudden I knew, I don't think I can make it in life without God. That's all I knew. I didn't know about, you know, if you'd asked me how many Gospels there were, I don't know. Whatever you say, that's what I agree. Zero knowledge, but something about God. I knew I needed Him. And something about, I thought of the Odd Couple evangelism team of Joshua and Norman Vincent Peale. You know, teaming up to say, hey, you need the Lord. And my dad, at the time, he was very unschooled in terms of church stuff. He didn't go to church at the time. Okay, no Bible. Again, no Bible, unschooled. Later on in life, he started to follow the Lord real directly, became an elder in the church because he really turned and began to follow and so forth. But how the Lord used a simple experience through people who you would say that, you know, God can't do anything through whatever article it is. The guy receiving it, he's clueless. And the man he's given it, he wants to help. You know. And if you're a dad, that you feel like that sometimes. Oh, I don't know what God's going to do with me. You know, I feel very unschooled and ordinary to the task at hand. God will make you able. He really will. And He's your best influence and person and power in your life to work through you. And if He could use the common fishermen of Peter and John, He could use you as a very strong influence toward God in other people. And dads, if you're a dad and you know, I don't know how to lead my children, I barely know the Lord myself, you know, God can use you, just who you are. My dad, by the way, even though he didn't have a Bible most of his life, I do say this, and it's true, to ask my brothers, his life was a Bible to me. His life was a Bible to me. I didn't have to go flipping through, you know, see what's going on. The things that God put in his life pointed me to God Almighty. Okay. And I thank the Lord for that. And so you can be like Peter and John. You know, what God did for these fishermen, amazing. Our competence comes from God. We're not trained, most of us, on how to be a good dad, how to be a good Christian follower. We learn over time. And even if you've been a Bible student, you know, strongest Bible student in the church, they would honestly confess, boy, the more they know, the more they realize what they don't know. You know, the more you know of the Bible, the more you realize how big God is. And you're like, oh my, you know, I feel pretty unschooled and ordinary when it comes to the holiness and love of God. I wouldn't claim to be an expert in that, that's for sure. Looking really pretty stupid and foolish if I did, right? So we put our lean on the Lord. We say, I can't do it on my own. My trust is in Him. And God can honor Himself through us. When the people saw Peter and John, they were astonished because of the courage they had, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. That's you, Christian. That's you, dad of the house. And that's you, spiritual dad. You could be with Jesus, all right? And the word courage, if you'll do a Bible word study, other words that could fit in there which apply to you, I think God builds these virtues into us, both as a gift and over the long haul. Courage, you're bold, you're steadfast, you're daring, you're fearless, you face danger and pain when it's called for. That's your role as a man or as a Christian follower of God. You're brave, you're confident. That's what the Lord does to your soul. Doesn't give us a spirit of timidity and fear. I have that naturally. If there was a fight somewhere, I became the fastest guy in town. Getting away from it. But God can give you not a spirit of fear. Love, self-control, good thinking. So that's what the Lord does for us. He becomes our confidence, as it says in Proverbs 3. And these guys, the only thing they could say, or what they had going for them, what? They had been with Jesus. That's a good thing. So you could say about your soul, you know, I don't know nothing about myself, but one thing I do know, I could be with Jesus and he's going to be with me. He's going to be with me. And here's some examples of that that I think can help you. Dad at home, spiritual father influencing others, or especially Christian following the Lord. These are all God saying, I'm with you. And they're to reflect a dad's mentality about the people around them. And I'll say this so I don't forget it because I said it in the first service. sometimes people, as people gather as Christians, just confess it as God puts it on your mind. Sometimes people who are far along in the Bible or who serve in a church position or setting, sometimes they have a tendency to look down on people who don't know a lot or who don't serve in any position. They think, you know, we're the real Christian servants around here, and these guys, they're just kind of, you know, they're just kind of here. Okay? God doesn't put it that way in the Bible. Okay? Every one of his children are important to him. And every part of the body is equally important. So you remember that, okay, when you think of your brother and sister in Christ. That's very important. So here's God being with these other people besides John and Peter. To Abraham, he's just starting out. God says, don't be afraid, I am your shield. But God's your shield as you take up different responsibilities. To Jacob, who is a rascal, he's wrestling with God at this point. God shows him, the presence of the Lord is in this place. In other words, I can't get away from God's presence. He's always with me. He's going to use the rascal Jacob in a tremendous way. Then to Moses. Moses is so afraid, he says, I don't even know what to say to Pharaoh. Who should I say sent me? to say, get these people out of Egypt. God tells Moses, I will be with you. Okay, tell him I am sent me, sent you, Moses. And then to Joshua, God says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll never leave or forsake you. And this is for all the, you know, all the men. This is what God says to you. Christian spiritual fathers, that's true for you. Christian following Jesus, that's true for you. To David, God showed him, when I'm awake, I'm still with God. In the great, when you woke up this morning, you were still with God. Some of you in the middle of the sermon, you wake up. Oh, I'm still with God. That's good. It's okay, you know. It's okay. And to Isaiah, he says, don't be afraid. I am with you. To Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah's not sure God's going to be with him in the bad countries. Don't I fill heaven and earth? I'll be with you. And, of course, from Jesus, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, it's not just you were with Jesus, but he was with you all the way. And he's the one that makes us able to serve in the calling he gives us. See, you're a dad not by accident, but on purpose. You're a Christian not by accident, but on purpose. You're a Christian influence, not by accident, but on purpose. And you're the kind of, God builds in us some of his character that isn't he the Father in heaven? When we sinned against him the worst, wasn't God the first one to greet us? Come toward us. Wasn't God the first one to say, you know, he said, here, let me put this ring on you again so you remember you're a part of my family. Let me put this robe on you because this is my goodness given to you. That's the way God is for us. And dad in the home and with your sometimes ornery wife, You know, you're the one who's going to say, hey, I just want to let you know, I love you all the time, no matter what. Honey, you come on, get a new coat, come on. Or you know, some expression of love that Dad creates in us, our Father in heaven creates in us, a heart after his own. And he did it for these guys, common men, Peter and John. And certainly he could do it for us. And so we're ready to follow. And just one more word of warning. One of the things guys don't like to do, guys don't like to look foolish, and guys don't like to feel stupid. Right? We don't like to feel stupid. We don't like to look foolish. So kind of we protect ourselves. And Jesus told a story one time. He called a man foolish because he said, this night your soul is required of you. So the point is, if we reject Christ and say, life without God is where it's at, and I don't need Jesus to get to heaven, we're going to feel really, really stupid and look really, really foolish when we pushed away all God is, his goodness, his love, his holiness, and we said no. You know, we're going to do like we're going to do. And that's what these religious leaders of the day, they were pushing the Lord away. Peter and John said, no, we're going to honor the Lord, and that's what we're going to do. And, of course, we're called to do that with his help. Do it in humility. Do it right where you live. You know, if you're a faithful dad, husband, person at work, you're going to have as much influence as any other Christian I know. I'll tell you just one more illustration. A new guy, a construction worker who lived next to a very sharp, on-the-ball youth pastor. It was wasn't anybody you know. And the youth pastor would always try to influence the construction guy, you know, but how are you reading your Bible and what are you doing and, you know, you want to go to church again and all that. Now that was important. But finally the construction worker said, hey, you know what, buddy? He said, you just love your wife and love your kids and I'll learn a lot more about God doing that than what you're trying to do for me over here. Okay? I know that. That's like, I don't know if that's a good thing. But you know what? The Christian guy did love his wife and kids. So there was long-term influence. And of course, the construction guy, he became a strong follower of Jesus. But so be who God called you to be, and let's pray and ask him for help for that. Father, we thank you for every believer of yours today, just following you one step at a time. In eternity, Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, we would say, yeah, we're unschooled, ordinary people. We don't have a PhD on God, but he sure does. You sure do understand us. So, dear Lord, give each man a trust in you, a recognition of our own limitations. Every Christian, Lord, a trust in you. A walking in their own limitations. And also, dear Jesus, for anybody who might take the side of a Sadducee or a leader of their own life and say, no, we don't want this Jesus fellow, help them to see, Lord, that is foolish, sinful, deadly, and just so full of pain and regret. Might they say, Jesus, be my Lord, because in you is all beauty and honor and goodness, Lord. And we're so thankful we can know you and worship you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless each one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.